It's kind of.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'll cut out this whole fiasco, but story of my life, I swear nothing ever goes to plan. Gosh, when I told you I was bad at with that technology, I wasn't kidding. Okay. All right, we'll start off. I'll cut off that. You know what? I might keep it as a blooper at the end because everyone, Cosimo had to help me do my own interview pretty much. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ethiopian Adoptees Unapologetically Unfiltered. I'm so glad you could join me. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy 2025, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I hope everybody is able to stay safe and healthy and are still safe and healthy after the holidays. I know everyone's probably back into the swing of somewhat of a normal routine by now. But yeah, I feel like this is always like such a very hectic transition from the holidays to back to reality. I know I haven't been great about getting some of these episodes out sooner, or just maybe doing just little solo episodes. I probably should do those, but I don't know if you guys want to listen to me yap. But you know, maybe it was actually right before final exams, I received this email at a time where I was like, oh, I don't know if the podcast is really like doing anything. I don't know, you know, all that self-doubt stuff. I open up the email and I see this email from an adoptee who was adopted by a couple in Italy. And this adoptee was asking me to come on and to do an interview, and that they've been listening to the podcast and that they liked it. And I was like, wow, what a sign, if there ever was one. But and that's who I have on today. That's our guest, Cosimo Naldi. It was such an honor to get to interview him and to get to know him as a person, as an adoptee, and his experience and his perspective on all of it. And it's just so crucial to get, you know, as many stories as we can out there to kind of, you know, fill the gap, to really see the spectrum and adoptee experiences and perspectives and the reality, you know, through those individuals who actually experienced it and centering that. So thank you, Cosimo, because it's, you know, people like you, adoptees like you, who are willing to share, that kind of helps us to close that gap. So thank you. It was a pleasure to get to know you and to speak to you for the podcast. And everybody, I hope you enjoy this episode, because I certainly had a great time making it. So without further ado, everyone, Cosimo Naldi. Thank you. Okay. Well, good morning, good afternoon. Would you mind just, you know, kind of saying your name for everyone who's listening?
Yeah, I'm Yedene Kacho, Cosimo Naldi. Yedene Kacho is an Ethiopian name. Mm-hmm. I used to have an Ethiopian surname, is Dawit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a typical name from Ethiopia. It's like Smith in USA or Rossi in Italy. So,
I love that comparison.
And I'm from Italy, Tuscany, Florence.
Mm. And where were you born?
I born in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in 1999, according to Western calendar, mm. And 1991 in Ethiopian calendar, because 10 months and different calendar. So, what else? When I didn't have parents, according to the paper from adoption, so they died to illness. I don't know if just or not, but since I remember, I used to live in a street because my aunt cannot feed two children. She was really young. So I used to live in Addis Ababa trying to find food and things like that.
Mm, okay. Well, Cosimo, thank you so much for joining us, for doing this interview, for reaching out from all the way from Italy. Oh my goodness. That's just I was in, so when I got that email, I was shocked, but it's obviously starting off the bat, being born in Addis, or being brought up as you and your brother on the streets. I can't imagine how like scary that must have been, and not obviously like not having your parents too. That's a lot. But again, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. So, kind of moving along, what was your experience like in Ethiopia before being put into the orphanage?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. And it was horrible because I was a child, so was like starving for food, and sometimes I don't want to do too much oversharing, but like even with my therapist, like I pay to her, but I want to share too much because it's some like in a trauma you had and when you was child. But I used to steal food for the market, try finding food from the garbage, or run from all the person, like they try to do something with you because you are child and they were bigger than you. Or policeman like hit you just for fun. And I've been in jail at six. I held guns at seven and things like that. And for a child was
Gosh.
pretty horrible.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, thank you for sharing that much. I think you're one of the you're kind of a new perspective from adoptees that have, have told their story. And I can't even imagine that, like you said, holding a gun at seven, having to dodge adults who using their power against you, like the cops, and that's wow. Listen, like you said, it's a very traumatic experience. We won't dig into it, but thank you for sharing as much as you did. That sounds like so terrifying, but you're here, so thank God, I guess. So, did you know, like, how did you end up in the orphanage?
At some point, my aunt decided to put my brother in the orphanage. So I was a bit old for putting me also in the orphanage, but she put me also in the orphanage, and we've been there for 1 year. And for me, it was strange because I was usually going around the street of Addis Ababa and stealing everything, or like mocking to Ferengi, we call it, like white people, and things like that. And in orphanage, I was like in a jail because nobody can go out. And the older one was caring about the youngest one. And there was some problem because the owner was Almas, Orfanotrofi, the owner, steal money from the European people, like people who donate money just for her to use for her. And we were starving for food, like we eat just one time for a day.
So, oh wow. So the orphanage that you went to, and I guess that's my qu next question is, what orphanage were you taking to and at what age? But the orphanage that you went to, the owner, the Europeans who had given money that was supposed to be used to like feed you or whatever, she used it for her own gain, and she like starved you pretty much. That's Jesus, that's so like horrifying. It really is. It's like, oh my gosh. But this is like a reality, and like I said, it's not. Now other adoptees that have gone through it, but that's so scary, and that's so unfortunate, So do you remember what orphanage you were taken to, and at what age, you were put in?
I've been there just when I turned seven
Hmm.
or like that. And the first time I met my parents was my European, Italian parents,
Yeah.
when I turned eight, because I had my first birthday I celebrate was in Ethiopia with my parents. So
Aww.
I've been like 9 months, maybe 1 year there. I don't really remember because our mind sometimes for give us a piece of She, I delete a bit of things, but yeah.
Listen, you have more memories than I do. I've completely blacked
Yeah,
out. I couldn't tell you anything anymore, but it's definitely a trauma response, so I understand. So did any biological family know that you were put up for adoption, or is it just was there only your aunt that you know?
just my aunt, and I never bond with her, so.
It was just kind of, yeah. Wow. And your aunt was young.
She, I read on the paper she was like 25, my age now, so 25,
Oh,
26.
okay. Yeah. My goodness. Everybody was put in a hard position, you know? Yeah, doing a lot of adult things at young ages. So it's gonna move in a little bit in your time in the orphanage, but you can, if you want to say anything more, feel free. But how long did you stay there before being adopted? I think you said a year.
A year, 1 9 month or 10 month, I don't really remember. As there was a bit hard because we used fight each other.
Oh,
Just
wow.
and there was a dorm for a girl, a dorm for a friend, and the dorm for like boys. And we used to fight and whatever, like and. For me, it was terrible because I was poor in Addis Ababa. Yes, I was running from really dangerous things always, but I was free. They put me in orphanage, like being in the jail, and I escaped from orphanage like 2 times, and they catch me. But
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
there was a gate, and I always was looking if it's open. When it's open, I can go there, and I planned to go out, and I managed to do that, and but they catch me. And
Yeah. That's so interesting. 'Cause I guess you're right though. Like that's such an interesting perspective because there's just so many nuances to the to our experience as an adoptee, but someone like your situation, I think a lot of people would assume, you're off the street, you've been put in this orphanage, like your life must have been better. And it's like, yeah, but then again, like you said, for you, for example, it was like a prison. At least when you were on the streets, you knew how to provide for yourself and to some extent, and you do what you needed to do. But then when you're there, you're at the mercy of all these other children who are traumatized, these adults who are abusing the system. And I think people have really warped vision of what is good for adoptees or when they're safe, and it's not necessarily safe just because they think it is for you. But again, thank you for sharing that. That's so traumatic. And you running away makes so much sense, especially understanding how much like it was a prison for you, probably worse than a prison. At least in prison in America, you get, or other parts of the world, you get like food and like time to go outside. And yeah, no, that's horrible. How did you cope with your life in the orphanage? When you were caught and you were forced to stay there. Like, what did you do to cope with all the what was going on?
I'm really good. I have a like the skills to know the emotion of the people because it's something I grow in the street because you have to watch see a person and know what's going on, you know? And so there was one of my skills, like knowing what's going on the people and bonding with each other. I used to have I have also these skills now, and as we play it together, and I had a good friends also here now. We've been in orphanage there, and but we are not really a relationship, but we are good friends, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's really beautiful though, because like you said, some of these the coping mechanisms we take into our life, outside of, the adoption facility, like we take on for the rest of our life and our placement, wherever, where we're adopted. And honestly, I guess that sort of state of hypervigilance and being very super aware, I find that a lot of adoptees have that, and we talk about kind of always being able to plan like 7 steps ahead, and always like being able to, you have to feel like you have to know what people's intentions are and what they're going to do, and think about 7 scenarios and how you're going to act. And obviously, I don't want to put you in like the same category, because also your experience and where you're coming from and living on the streets, like that's like on another level of being beyond aware. And then like we have to be careful, you
It's
know.
the same
You have to
pattern.
be careful. Huh?
I think it's the same pattern. Like you understand how people work, like the emotion. It's like my favorite game is chess. It's like playing chess. You know, you have to be a bit with your head a bit more than people.
No, I like that. Chess is a great ex a great metaphor for that. No, it is. It is. And yeah, you're kind of responsible for your younger brother, so obviously that's also like heightens your, you know, your fight or flights and your hypervigilance and all that. So wow. Thank you for sharing that. What memories of your time in the orphanage really stuck out to you? Like, what's one thing that really sticks out to you today, even?
It's a bit like being in jail. Like I always now be outside doing things. I don't really like being inside a house or something like in a cage or. I don't like have authority. I want to do what I want and things like that. And also, I think stuck my head more things when I was in the street because like things like there are some things I do. It was funny. It was funny, but just the when I used to sleep on the street, they also other children people. Want to play like they put on a paper on your leg and they fire it and just for fun. So
Oh my gosh.
and
My gosh.
this things is just stuck in my head till now and it's going always with me because I now if I'm sleeping someone touch me I just wake up in 5 seconds, like in fight mode, you know.
No, and I know, because you have to almost laugh through like the insanity of what you went through, especially when now you live a life that's so different from what you grew up, but you're like, that's crazy that like that is what you had to endure. But then the fact that, like you said, now in today's, even though you're in a completely different environment, you have that traumatic response of like who's touching me, who's trying to light the paper, you know, on fire, and like, you know, like that's so scary. My goodness. Yeah, that'll stick with you. And the prison thing too, I think that's really interesting that you prefer to be out, and that has a lot to do with, you don't like being confined, and how that obviously translates to growing up in Italy. Wow, that's super fascinating. Thank you. So how did you feel when you first met your adoptive family? Who was there to pick you up and bring you to Italy?
I remember the day really good. I don't know why, but most of things I forgot, but this one I remember. It was a rainy day, and we understood we was going to be adopted, taken from our parents because they call us me and just me and my brother, and she said us to find good clothes, clean clothes. The first time I met my parents was my father had a red jacket, my mother had a really short haircut, and my father start crying. So I try to like cuddle him, and yeah, the strong person in our family is my mother. She was like really crying, and
You were very so you were were you excited, would you say, or were you like relieved because you knew you're going to be going, maybe possibly getting taken out of that?
Yeah, I think we were excited. Yeah, we spent 2 weeks in a hotel before to go in. So, and there are also around us other adoptees, children with parents. So we were like bonding in this big hotel in Addis Ababa, and it's something like we didn't have clothes, so they bring us to a shop and we buy some new clothes and things and.
What was your time like that week? Was it were you like, because it must have been so different from like just everything.
Me and my brother, we have a different attitude, you know. He's a bit younger, so he was like happy, and I was the oldest one, so I was looking for like studying what's going on and sharing and thinking. I think now I'm in love with them, but it's happened later because first thing tend to be a good child and going further from that.
No, I think that's a beautiful point to make, and that's also a common theme from adoptees that I've spoken to on the podcast and for the podcast or just in general. Again, I was also I was adopted, along with my younger sister, and I do remember not the specific instances as much anymore, because I think I've blocked a lot of it out, but like that being very apprehensive, like being able to go with it because you understand that there's authority or these people have rights to you or whatever. But like you said, it's like you're not very trusting, but you have every right not to be. It's especially for you. You're like growing up on the streets, the last thing you're gonna do is just accept people for who they are and assume they have good intentions, So no, I totally understand that. So now we're gonna kind of move to on to like, your time in Italy and adjusting there. Do you remember what it was like when you first arrived in Italy?
Yeah, I remember because there are some kind of fake stories that in Europe there are not pepper on the street, everything is clean. It's what like you're going to heaven, you know? The first time I arrived was in a station. Every station, every here in Italy are telling you that like there are garbage everywhere and so that's outside our window. I say, we are in Europe. Is this?
Looks like Ethiopia. I'm just
Yeah,
kidding.
there are some places in Ethiopia like Boles, Europe, and aeroplane places. More it was more clean than.
That's hilarious. That's funny. So you remember that?
It was a long way. We took first aeroplane to Rome and after train from Rome to Florence, and after I live outside of Florence like 20 minutes, so car for me was strange, like going too much like transport and things.
That's so funny. You're like, this is Italy, this is Europe. That's hilarious. Americans do. I'm not gonna lie, I'm one of them though. I'm always like, I feel like I dream of Europe just to get away from here. And you just fantasize about things that just aren't true, and you have no reason to think that it's true, but you just do. But that's too funny. So what was it like adjusting to your new home when you're first, brought there? And again, so obviously now you're not on the streets, so you're in the orphanage, but now you're, living with these people. How was that adjustment?
I was like a small adult. I always been like a small adult, and I never been like a child who like run and screams, man. But the first time we arrived at home, the home here now, there was our babysitters because my father and my mother they work a lot, so they put like welcome and with everything.
It's so
Some
cute.
decoration and everything. And it's the first year, I think, the first month, I don't remember, but it's like adjusting yourself to be like good and clean and everything. For me, it was so difficult. It was mentally difficult. I used to live in the street. Now I have a bed, clothes, and everything. I have to clean myself. I never did it. Like, was strange.
That's so interesting. Yeah, you're right though. Like, these are things people don't consider, right? It's so it can feel nice, but it can also be very foreign and weird mentally, like you said, to be like, what? It's such a drastic shift for you. Like, it's so,
I
yeah.
used to lie. I used to steal food, money, and everything. So now I am like
Prevent.
become a child. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true though. You went from being an adult to a kid, you
Yeah.
know? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's so interesting. So how did you connect with your adoptive parents in your extended family? And I saw you had babysitters too. Like, how was it like connecting to those people?
I think it's not happened fast and easily. It's happened really like first you pretend to be in good relationship and everything and mentally work and you I was like looking there, should I trust them or not?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like that. And growing up, building your character and everything, you understood like those people, they did more things for you than everyone else. So they it's a love in a long time, not like you say your parents, paper says your parents, no, your parents not work like that.
Yes, correct. Yeah. No, absolutely. So yeah, so it took time for you to build that connection because in like you said, as a performative aspect, you can go along with it, but for a time over time you need to show me that, you know, I can trust you, right? Because it's and so over time you built that trust with them. Did your parents leave right away to go back to work and so you were with the nanny or with your babysitter?
Mother took one year of free work to stay at home with us, and after she went to work, and we used to stay with our babysitter. They are from the countryside of Florence, really countryside, so they have a really different culture from my grandparents. They live in a city, so I grew up like in different mode. And a lot of things like one my favorite songs are like old Italian songs because my babysitter always putting these songs around the house.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
I knew that I was different from them because me and my brother, we was black and there was white.
But did they treat you well? Like, you know, obviously, I think, yeah, I don't know.
With love, the things with love.
Oh, I love that. Okay, that's so sweet. And obviously, and you said your parents, so are they're doctors, correct? You
Yeah,
said?
both.
Okay. So they had pretty demanding lives after the year when your mom had to go back and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So you've created, I'm sure, a very close relationship with your babysitter.
Yeah, I still go there to eat with them again and everything. I visit.
Oh, I love
They are 10 minutes from our house. So.
that. Okay, so you've maintained that
Yeah.
relationship.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah. They
that's so.
have the key of our house. They come whenever they want and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's really like almost like a family, like not even
Yeah,
like.
because they was really different from us because I told you once because he is Luigi and Anna. Luigi has like a beard like Santa Claus, you know.
Yes, you said that.
She's blonde and everything. When she took us from the elementary school, and always was funny because we was like really different people going around and have fun because it was really funny.
Oh, that's so cute. Like the image is so cute.
It's all village in Florence.
Yeah, just running around. Oh, that's so cute. What was your favorite thing to do with them? What was like your favorite activity or yeah.
It was when they took us from sport, because we did a lot of sport when we was young. First sport we did was swimming. I hated that.
Swimming, okay.
And she put in the car. The boat come to took us, and she put the car music. And she bring us some fruit, and we sing together, and we go home. And
Oh, okay. So wholesome. It's so wholesome. I love that you had a good relationship. What sports did you play throughout?
I
Yeah.
first think swimming, because it was important to us. And
Yeah.
after athletic, I would say, like running.
Running, yes. Okay, like cross country or
Obvi
track, something like
yeah. Obviously, I'm Ethiopian, so I was really good at that.
genetic came through, yeah.
I was winning everything, so I went to do you call it soccer, it's football in
Oh,
here.
football, yes.
And
Yeah.
I played for a really long time football game.
Okay, so that was like your
Yeah.
main sport.
And yeah.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Okay. I guess we're moving along. I kind of diverged from from where we were going, but that's awesome. So what was your experience like with other children and people in your community?
We arrive in like in the middle of August. The school here in Italy starts in September, so we've been put we put they put us in elementary school
Right away.
in September, by the way. Like the elementary school was pretty difficult, because I didn't speak Italian for like 1 year, and but the teacher was really kind, because they bring me in other class, like just for teaching me Italian. And there was it's a small village, so in 1 week they knew who you are, where you're from. They don't like ask you always where you are, where you are, like a new friend, you know.
Okay. So, did you find it easy to get along with other children, or are you like very apprehensive about getting to know them, or what was
I
that like?
was, because I had like a really different trauma, like everything. But I used to be the child who don't speak too much. I was quiet. My voice was loud like that. And but I still have friends from elementary, because after that, growing up, we bonding and everything.
Oh, okay. So over time, at first, you were very like, huh, I haven't had the best experience from being on the streets and even in the orphanage with people my age. Or so you were very kind of, quiet and then more reserved. But as you got to know, like even like you said with your, whether it was with your babysitter, with your parents over time, you found that you could tr trust them and be friendly with them, and people in your community were, was it the same way with everybody like in your small
Yeah.
town?
Everything, I think everything in my life, or in the life of my brother, starts really easily, like knowing the people. After that, maybe you can trust, maybe no, and after that go further. It's not meant to. I did also in the middle school in the same village, so I've been there for a long time, like until 14 years old. So.
And how do I say this? How did your adoptive parents like help you with that? Like, you know what I mean? Like start, because you started school right away. Were they very understanding, of you know how to speak Italian, you were gonna, school and school, stuff like that.
It started. We stopped to speak Amharic, me and my brother, and I really liked to watch movies in Italian. And my mother used to read me a book in the night, so we have like the event in the night. She read me a book, I read a bit and things like that. And That helped really much to learn, and also I really like it, especially in the middle school, literature, poem, and things like that, because I had a good teachers. They also because the feelings I was having, I had some sadness
Yeah.
to took out from a place, because I was a bit older for like
Yeah.
sadness to take off from Ethiopia. So then Brazilian people or Portuguese, they call it saudades, like a sailors who go far from the place, always some sadness
Yeah.
and dream about the place. Even the place was pretty terrible for me.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. So, well, I guess that's actually perfect because that's the next question I was going to ask is, how did you feel about adoption, at that point in your life, which I think you explained it, but what you were just saying is that, despite obviously you knowing and understanding that your life in Italy now is a lot better in a lot of ways for you, there was still some sadness about, like you said, you still that was Ethiopia is your country, it's your culture, you have people that look like you, speak your language, you communicate with your people and all this. So that can still you can still feel some sort of sadness and from that, like being disconnected from that. And that sailor metaphor is great, sailors that go away and miss home or whatever. But that's great. So I guess I don't know if you want to elaborate more. You don't have to, but how did you feel about being adopted at that age, at that point in your life?
At that age, I think I try to pretend to not be European, to not be African, to not be black. I just to be someone else. I just forgot that I was born in Ethiopia and everything, and I was trying to be good and to fit in the place I was. And of course, a bit later was like teenager time, so identity crisis was starting and everything. And for a long time, I just I felt like the sadness, but I tried to keep away from me and try to be good, like fit in the place I've been. Even my parents, they never push me to forget that I did for myself, maybe for forget some trauma and everything, but
All right, everyone. So that is the end of part one, or segment one, whatever you want to call it, of the interview with Cosimo. But the next one will be out in a week. And I hope you enjoyed it. And the next one will be out soon. If you have any questions, any concerns, anything like that, please feel free to DM me on the Instagram account. Ethiopian Adoptees UU is the username on Instagram. And you can email me at Ethiopian Adoptees UU at gmail.com. And I would love to hear from you. If not, that's perfectly fine too. But until the next episode, bye bye.